Mike Polakoff.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Wayne Kessel.
Here.
Deb Scarta.
Here.
Judy Giuliana.
Here.
Bill Stobig.
Here.
John Skolbeck's excused. Brock Williamson.
Here.
Quorum present. Item 3 is consider appointment of the Plan Commission secretaries. That will take the place of Jim Bandura, who had resigned from the commission after 25 years, was moving out of the state eventually, and we will definitely miss him. So with that, I'll ask for an appointment nomination.
I'd like to nominate Deb Scarta.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for Deb Scarta to take the place of Jim Bandura as secretary. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the ayes have it. Do you want to accept that?
Yes, Deb? I will. Thank you.
Before we get going tonight, the agenda, I think, is kind of exciting for the village. And as we go through it, I think it's very important to realize the amount of work that goes into the meetings for tonight. And that gives, I give credit to our administrator, Jean Werby-Harris, our director of community development, and her staff, and everybody else that's involved with this. It's a lot of work, and you wonder how to get it done in 8 hours. And actually, I don't think that happens in 8 hours. Probably weekends included. So, but we appreciate your efforts, Jean and Nathan, and we look forward to a good meeting tonight. With that, approval of the July 22nd minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the July 22nd Plan Commission minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Correspondence, Jean.
I have none this evening.
Okay. Citizens' comments. Is there anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? We'll close citizen comments. Move on to new business. Item A, public hearing and consideration approval of a conceptual plan for Joe Bukovich of Point Reels Estate. Jean?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plan Commission in the audience, this is a consideration of a conceptual plan at the request of Joe Bukovich of Point Real Estate on behalf of Sagewood 47 LLC, owner of the properties located on the east side of 47th Avenue between Main Street and 104th Street, to develop the remainder of the Sagewood condominium land with 18 two-unit condominium buildings to be known as the Keystone Condominiums. On March 10, 2003, the board approved the preliminary plat for the proposed development of the property for 17 four-unit condominium development, a total of 68 units. It was at that time to be known as Village Green Heights Townhome South. The preliminary plat was consistent with the neighborhood plan and the Village Green Heights conceptual plan is conditionally approved by the board in 2001. The Village Green Heights subdivision, the Village Green Heights Edition Number 1 subdivision were approved respectively in 2004 and 2006, and most of the single-family lots have since developed. On October 3rd of 2005, the board approved the final condominium plat for the Sagewood condominiums at Village Green. The project was scaled back to 9 four-unit condominium buildings and an expansion area for 7 four-unit condo buildings. To date, however, only 2 of the 9 four-unit buildings were constructed within the first phase of the Sagewood condominiums before the downtown and the residential market and the recession in 2008. In 2016 now, the vacant lands, the unfinished Sagewood condominium, and the expansion area were purchased by a new developer, and he at this time is proposing to develop the area with 18 two-unit condominiums, which in turn is 36 units, and it's to be known as Keystone Condominiums. Any reference, as noted, to 103rd Court in the comments is also referring to Sagewood Circle. The existing 8-unit owners within the Sagewood condominiums have agreed to vacate the remainder of the plat and reorganize as a 2-4-unit condominium association pursuant to the agreement to sever and then to replat Sagewood. All property removal instruments and easement vacation documents will need to be prepared for the village staff review and village plan commission and board approval to be considered at the same time as the final plat for the Keystone condominiums. In addition, the Sagewood Planned unit development will need to be amended to reflect that the Sagewood condominium area will remain, and again, to be considered at the same time as the final plat for Keystone. So what we'll have is a small condominium that will have just those two buildings for Sagewood, and then the balance of all that area east of 47th Avenue will now be referred to as Keystone Condominium. The development will include 18 two-unit ranch-style units that are proposed to be 1,589 square feet with two bedrooms, two bath, two-car attached garages, full basements, sunroom with a rear patio and deck. It's anticipated that the construction on the required public improvements would commence in the spring of 2020 and that all the units will be completed within 2 to 3 years. In addition, the developer has submitted draft declaration of condominium along with conceptual elevations and floor plans for the proposed condominium buildings. With respect to wetlands on the property, a few things have changed over the years. On May 22, 2018, Dave Meyer with Wetland and Waterway Consulting, a Wisconsin DNR assured biologist, completed a wetland delineation on the north expansion areas and found two areas to be wetlands. Wetland B is 1,670 square feet and has been determined by the Wisconsin DNR to be artificial, and that is pursuant to their letter of September 6, 2018. And the Army Corps of Engineers is not taking jurisdiction per their letter of September 25, 2018. Therefore, the small wetland area will be removed. Wetland A is 32,716 square feet, and that wetland area will remain, as noted on the screen. That is the wetland in the back. On September 22, 2018, Dave Meyer with Wetland and Waterway Consulting has also completed a wetland delineation on the remaining Sagewood condominium property, the north expansion areas, and found three additional wetlands. Wetland A is 1,471 square feet and is a man-made drainage way to allow water to flow into the existing on-site stormwater basin, which has been noted as Wetland B. Wetland C is a small wetland contiguous with A on the northern parcel. It's recommended that the developers seek Wisconsin DNR wetland determination of artificial wetlands and non-jurisdictional determination by the Corps for both wetlands A and B so that the drainage improvements can continue to be maintained as needed. Again, it's not unusual to have wetlands grow and expand when the land lays dormant. Some of these really do need to be declared as artificial based on the land disturbance. The ones that can remain are the ones typically in the back that have not been graded and were part of a larger complex previously identified. The comprehensive plan and compliance and density. The proposed development is consistent with the village's comprehensive land use plan, including the Village Green Neighborhood Plan. The development has a density of 2.72 units per net acre. At such time that the final condominium plat, required certified survey map, zoning text and map amendment applications, as noted below, are submitted, an application to amend the 2035 Comprehensive Land Use Plan map shall be submitted to remove the urban reserve land use designation and to correct the map to reflect the field delineated wetlands, to ensure that the zoning map and the land use plan map are consistent. With respect to the zoning, the properties have multiple zoning designations. Portions of the property are zoned R9 PUD, which is a multiple family residential district with a planned unit development overlay district, and that's down at the south end, which is the Sagewood condominium area. R10 UHO, which is also a multifamily residential district with an urban landholding overlay district, a C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and a C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District. At the same time that the final condominium plat is considered, the village staff will recommend that the field delineated wetlands, excepting any of those that are obtaining exempt or non-jurisdictional determination from the DNR or the Corps of Engineers, shall then be rezoned into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and the woodland areas being preserved shall be placed into the C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District. And the remaining area in the Keystone condominium shall be rezoned into the R8 PUD because these will all be two-unit condos, and so the designation would be Urban Two-Family Residential District with a planned unit development overlay. The R8 district allows for no more than 2 units per building, and developing these properties with a PUD overlay will allow for modification of a few of the zoning ordinance requirements, provided that there's defined community benefit. The PUD will allow for more than one building per property, as it will be a condominium, and slightly reduced setbacks, provided that the multi-unit buildings are condominiums, have exterior entries, have exterior materials that are maintenance-free, include increased elements of natural stone or brick materials, increased landscaping screening, and improved quality of architectural standards and sidewalks along 47th Avenue and Highway 165. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. The village staff will begin preparing a detailed PUD ordinance for review by the developer and the Plan Commission and the Board when the final plat is proposed. In addition, Sagewood PUD will need to be amended to reflect the reduced development area. The required public hearing for the PUD ordinances will be held at the same time that the Plan Commission and the Board consider the final condominium plat. Under the municipal improvements, municipal sanitary sewer and water shall be provided to service all the condominium units within the development. The stormwater retention basin facility for this development has already been constructed and is located at the southeastern portion of the development. As you can see, it's just to the east of the first phase of the units. The pond will be shared with the Sagewood condominium development. All required access and maintenance easements and requirements and easement and restrictive covenant requirements will need to be shown on the new CSM and the final plat. The developer will be installing additional storm sewers and drainage system improvements to serve the development. As discussed previously, the developer shall request a wetland exemption from the DNR and a non-jurisdictional determination from the Corps for this retention facility, as well as the existing drainage ditch leading to the pond that was constructed as part of the initial Sagewood development. This would allow for the retention facility to be maintained so it can continue to function as a retention facility as it was originally designed. Sagewood Circle, which was originally platted as 103rd Court, is proposed to be dedicated to the village as a public street and constructed to public roadway standards, modified slightly to accommodate the existing improvements already installed. We have a number of comments as part of the engineer's review. Again, if you recall, a few years back, when it was originally platted as 103rd Court, it was a private road, and now they're going to be reconstructing it as a public road. The new public roadways shall be constructed pursuant to our village specifications, as noted in Chapter 405 of the Municipal Code. Public sidewalks will need to be installed by the developer along 47th Avenue, east side only, to connect to the existing sidewalk on Main Street to the very north. In addition, funds shall be provided to the village for future sidewalks south of Sagewood Circle, adjacent to 47th Avenue, as well as adjacent to Highway 165 and then connecting to the far east side of their property. With respect to transportation improvement fees, a number of years ago when the Village Green Heights development was constructed, we had a TIA, or Transportation Improvement Study, that was done. And at that time, it identified certain costs and payments that needed to be made for future improvements for this area. And the memorandum of understanding that was executed in 2004 regarding contributions for Highway 165 corridor improvements, the developer of these properties were responsible for paying $40,000 for the southern area. And according to the village records, $36,000 was paid to date by the previous developer and is responsible for the payment of $28,000 for the northern area at the time of the final condominium plat. Therefore, at this time, there's still a total of $32,000 that is still owed pursuant to the MOU for both of these land areas. It's recommended that about 50% be paid to the village prior to recording of the plat, and $444 per unit or $888 per building be paid at the time of each building permit being issued. And that's how we set it up previously with the cottages and the other developments. But if the developer wants to pay the full amount up front, that would be acceptable as well. For construction site access, the construction access to the development area for installing the roadway and utility infrastructure improvements, building the condo units shall be from Highway 165 to the north on 47th Avenue and then into the respective developments. Again, there's three different areas. platting and certified survey map. In addition to the required preliminary and final condominium plat, the certified survey map shall be required to be approved to dedicate the public roadways, to identify the required easements, and set forth additional dedication and easement provisions as well as restrictive covenants, and to remove and vacate documents for a portion of that Sagewood condominium development. As part of the final condominium plat and CSM approval, the developer shall execute a development agreement, provide all the exhibits, provide a letter of credit to the village as financial security, and that is to guarantee to the village all of the installation, inspection, and warranty of the public improvements. So with that, I'd like to introduce the developer. And do we have a video for them? We have a PowerPoint. I'd like to introduce the developer and representatives in order to go through a PowerPoint regarding this project.
Just your name and address for the record when we start.
Good evening. My name is Joe Bukovich, Point Real Estate, 19,000 West Blue Mound Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I'm the development representative for Sagewood. And we have prepared a PowerPoint presentation for you. And that was before we knew that the staff did a very, very detailed and thorough job. And we thank you for that. So what I'd like to do is introduce you to Todd Becker, the owner of Sagewood LLC, to kind of give you a little bit of background of who he is, his past projects, and that kind of stuff. And then I'll be around if there's any further questions. Ms. Harris has presented everything that I was going to and done it very well. So Todd Becker with Sagewood, 47 LLC.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Todd Becker, N77W23806, Sun Valley Run in Sussex, Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah, why don't we go through those things?
Right now, my parent company is Becker Builders, Inc., the landowners. There's actually two landowners, Sagewood Investments, LLC, and Sagewood 47, LLC. The licensed contractor is DREC, LLC. That's our building contractor. Our brokerage is Creekwood Real Estate, LLC, and, of course, I'm the principal. My background is, since 2009, I've been self-employed. My primary focus has been ranch duplex condos. I've got three active projects right now. Prior to that, I worked for a company called Town Realty Zilber. I guess you've heard of those guys around here. Prior to that, I was a chief financial officer at Insignia Homes, and then before that, I was a CPA here in Kenosha, working right down the street at Belani and Becker. Currently, I have three projects underway. Biggest one is Glacier Run Condominiums in West Bend, Wisconsin. This is a similar project in the sense that it was what I consider a fractured condominium development. It was started out at 62 units. 16 of the 62 units were built by the original developer. That property went back to the bank back in 2010. I purchased it in 2014. Started construction in January of 2017 and will be done in this February. A little bit smaller product. Most of the units there are 1,380 square feet, and there's a few buildings that have a 1,600 square foot floor plan. The other project, kind of project that I'm involved in right now, is Villas at Timber Ridge. 28 units. That was a replat from a sixplex, two-story product to a duplex, similar to what we have here. Here the project, the units are a little bit smaller at 1,205 square feet because we're limited on space. We started back in June of last year and will be wrapped up in June of 2020. And then I have a small single-family development that's going on right now in Brookfield, Wisconsin. We're doing our site work, and we'll be selling our lots in the next coming months. Past projects, I did another 10 units of duplex projects in Waukesha called Timber Ridge Garden Homes. I've done 8 units in Mequon, Wisconsin, a little bit bigger product at 2,200 square feet, and then some ranch-style condominiums both in Brookfield and Greenwood, Indiana, as well as some ranch products in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. So, again, my background is a lot of condominium duplex. Here's a couple pictures of our project in Glacier Run in West Bend. Again, the dark gray ones are the ones that were built by the previous developer. Everything else was built by me. 1,380 square feet. This was a project where we didn't modify the plat. We did not modify the plans. We kind of built as it was already established and started. We used a varying degree of color schemes and textures and materials and colors throughout to make sure that there's not, you know, monotony. We do have a fully furnished model there. We'll do that on each and every site that's professionally designed and decorated. Timber Ridge Villas in Waukesha was a little bit different beast. This was a multi-dimensional product. It had a mix of single-family condominiums, which are the light blue down to the left. There's single-family mixed in. Those are the green. There's duplexes to the north on the dark green. And then that current active project is the villas, which is the orange section to the right. Again, that we took land that was designed for sixplexes, and we converted those to the duplexes, knowing that that type of product was in high demand at this point in time. Pricing, I took a look at MLS over the past week to take a look at the previous 12 months activity on the condo side. Certainly there's probably more sales than what appear on MLS, but I found 66 sales, low point of $104,000 up to $660,000. Average price point was $238,305. Square footage ranged from 800 square feet to 3390. Average square footage was 1575, and then 15 out of the 66 were ranches. So obviously this ranch product is something that we want to fill a niche and a need. The Village Green area, the area surrounding the Keystone condominiums, there were 9 sales over the past 12 months, ranged from $380,000 all the way up to $600,000. Average price point was $475,000. 2,004 square feet all the way up to 4,365 square feet. Average was 3,100 square feet at $151 per square foot on the resale. Current listings around Village Green, including one listing to the south, 374 all the way up to 595, average of 499. And again, the price point is about $160 per foot. And those are the listings that are available today. Keystone condominiums, we propose a starting price point right now at $350,000. We'll move those up to in the 4 range, 425 with a finished basement and some high-end finishes. We anticipate an average price point of $400,000. Our floor plan is just under 1,600 square feet. If we do a finished basement, we'll be in the 2,500 square feet range. That puts us at an average 1,960 square feet, assuming 40% of our units will have finished basements. Our target market is empty nesters from Pleasant Prairie and Kenosha, similar to what we're seeing in Waukesha and West Bend. I assume that 50% of my construction will be built to suit. The other 50% will be spec or move-in ready. And our projected association fees are going to be $250 a month at this point in time. We want to do a model home on Building 11. That's going to be where our model is. We'll make sure that we hold off on Building 12 and use that for additional overflow parking. Our anticipated model hours are going to be Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4 and by appointment. It will be fully furnished, and we'll certainly meet people there at their beck and call. Timeline, anticipated timeline right now. We're hoping to have all of our approvals in place by the end of the year. Model construction, if allowed by the village, we'd like to start model construction in December. We'd have our first building done in May. Our roads at this point are anticipated in April. to June of 2020. Vertical construction, which starts shortly thereafter on the remainder of the units. Our projected sales pace will be commensurate to what we're seeing in West Bend and Waukesha, and that's going to be closings at a rate of 2 per month. Miscellaneous details. Obviously, we're going to have contractor parking that will be off-road. The streetlights per the village public street standards. Sidewalks, as Gene said, on 47th Avenue. We're not going to do yard lights. We hope to do coach lights that are censored and not switched because the units are so close to the road. Fiber cement siding, LP smart siding, and small cultured stone veneers will be standard. We're going to use a 40-year dimensional asphalt roof. We'll have as many as 6 or more exterior color schemes to make sure we don't have them, have monotony. Would like to do uniform mailboxes if permitted by the post office. We'll do irrigation systems, and we hope to start the foundations in groups of 4 to keep the heavy traffic at bay. Standard features are similar to what we're doing in other communities, granite tops, maple cabinets, painted doors and trim, wood floors throughout with the exception of the bathrooms and the bedrooms, Kohler fixtures, maintenance-free AZEC decks with exposed units, and everything's going to be fully landscaped. And that's it for my presentation. Open it up for questions.
Thank you. Joe?
There's a few more pictures with updated renderings. If you want to see that in the landscape plan, that wasn't covered initially, that I thought might, if you just keep scrolling through a little bit. This is all the history of that. Go back a little bit. These are updated renderings. The first rendering showed fences on either side, and that was just the artist's inclination to put it in. There won't be any fences between buildings. Otherwise, those are the same. And then we've included side elevations. Top one's a side elevation, consistent on both sides of the building, and then a rear elevation. So you'll see a lot of windows, the LP siding, the 40-year architectural roof. And then the landscape plan should be next. A little hard to see. This is the overall. You'll see that there'll be street trees following all the different roads, 47th Avenue and the interior roads as well. And then each building will have foundation plantings around all 4 elevations. And where you have the islands, there will be plantings in the islands as well. And that should summarize our presentation.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you, Todd. Well, this is going to be a public hearing. If there's any questions from anybody, we'll bring you back up. This is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearing and open up to comments and questions from the staff. Mike?
Gene, you indicated that 103rd Street in Sagewood right now is a private road, and the plan is when the during the replat to have it dedicated as a public road?
Correct.
So, and then did you say that the existing road would be removed and built to current standards?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That was Mike.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
Move approval.
What?
Sir. Motion made and seconded for approval of the conceptual plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. I think this is going to be an exciting project for the village, especially when you consider the downtown that we're anticipating going in the near future, and this will just add to it. And I'm looking forward to this project. So we welcome you to Pleasant Prairie and back to Kenosha, or Pleasant Prairie, I said. Oh, boy, I get myself in trouble on that one. Okay, item B.
Right.
Consider request of Steve Miller from Clayco on behalf of property owners Blue Point 94 for final site and operational plans. Gene?
Item B is consider the request of Steve Miller with Clayco on behalf of the property owners Blue Point 94 LLC for approval of final site and operational plans for the construction of a 590,525-square-foot regional office and pharmaceutical warehouse and processing facility for Fresenius Kabi at 11900 122nd Street in the State Line 94 Corporate Park. Fresenius Kabi is a global healthcare company specializing in life-saving medicines and technologies for infusion, transfusion, and clinical nutrition applications. Their products and services are used to help care for critically and chronically ill patients, and the company is committed to putting essential medicines and technologies into the hands of people who help patients find the best answers to the healthcare challenges they face. Fresenius Kabi provides high-quality products with one of the most comprehensive product portfolios for core therapeutic areas. So with this project, there have been several previous approvals. On March 11, 2019, the Plan Commission conditionally approved preliminary site and operational plans, and this is to begin mass grading on the site. Permits have been issued for this work to commence. On May 13, 2019, the Plan Commission conditionally approved preliminary site and operational plans for the construction of the building shell. Permits have been issued for footing and foundation work to commence. On June 24, 2019, the Plan Commission approved a conditional use permit, 1903, for Fresenius Kabi. And this is for the reference purposes I just discussed. Their conditional use document grant, 1903, has been executed and will be recorded at the Kenosha County Register of Deeds Office. On July 1, 2019, the Village Board conditionally approved the following requests: a certified survey map to create the parcel for the development of the site. The CSM has been finalized and has been recorded at the Kenosha County Register of Deeds. And a memorandum of understanding and MOU, including TID 7 public improvement plans for sanitary sewer mains, lift station water mains, roadway improvements, including streetlights and street trees within the State Line 94 Corporate Park, have been approved. The final plans are being reviewed, and the MOU will be executed prior to work commencing. The village has submitted and is waiting the final decision regarding the T-Grant application submitted for assistance for the roadway improvements. The public improvements will be under construction at the same time that the building shell is constructed on the site. However, permits for the interior build-out they will be issued at the same time, but no occupancy permit can be issued until the municipal improvements are installed, inspected, tested, and accepted by the village. These are all anticipated to be completed. Initially, it was the fall of 2019, so I'm not sure if it's still fall of 2019 or if it's spring of 2020. We'll have to get that confirmed. At this time, the petitioner is requesting approval of the final site and operational plans. That includes the final development plans, including the plans from past preliminary approvals and the interior building plans. Fresenius Kabi is a licensed facility by governing bodies such as the Board of Pharmacy, Drug Enforcement Agency, and is operated as a verified, accredited wholesale distributor, all of which require strict policies and procedures for the movement and handling of products, as well as highly trained team of associates to administer the process. The entire facility will be operated in a validated temperature-controlled environment and Schedule II controlled substances handling and areas which require a DEA-registered vault. In addition, the facility will be a secure environment with card readers, camera systems, and full-time security. Fresenius Kabi operations are such that materials arrive on the north side of the facility, are processed and packaged in the center, and then leave the building on the opposite side or the south side, thus having dock doors on both the north and south sides of the building. As such, dock doors will face 122nd Street, which is County ML. However, no truck traffic will exit the property to the south onto ML. The western access to 122nd Street is for passenger vehicles, for employees and visitors, and the eastern access to 122nd Street ML is also gated emergency access only. The dock doors face south will be screened from view on 122nd or ML, as previously discussed by the Plan Commission. The building will be approximately 15.5 feet below 122nd Street, and a composite privacy fence with substantial landscaping, including ornamental trees, evergreens, and shrubbery, will be installed along the southern property line to further screen the dock area from 122nd Street. The dock doors facing 122nd Street with this screening have been previously approved by the Plan Commission with the preliminary site and operational plans. The hours of operation will be from 4 a.m. to 11 o'clock p.m. with two shifts. It's estimated that at startup, within the first 3 years, there will be 95 employees. It's anticipated that the number of employees could reach up to 164 employees by 2028. These workers will be skilled in operating equipment, as well as all regulations related to CGMP, drug supply chain security, and DEA requirements. They have a full electronic training system that ensures employees are trained on appropriate policies and procedures for their particular job functions. There are 200 parking spaces, including handicapped accessible spaces, and 25 truck parking spaces with 44 docks. It's estimated that there will be approximately 500 automobile trips and 166 truck trips per day. Arsenius Kabi is planning to take occupancy of the building in spring of 2020. With that, we have representatives here. If you have any further questions or comments, if you don't, this is the final site and operational plans for the user at this site.
Petitioner, have anything to add? Nothing. Thank you, Mark. Comments or questions from the commission?
Nothing. If not, Chairman, I would recommend that the Plan Commission approve the final site and operational plans, subject to the comments and conditions of the Village Staff Report of August 12, 2019.
Second.
Motion made and second for approval of the final site and operational plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Item C is a request of Carl Music for a preliminary site and operational plan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plan Commission and audience, this is a request by Carl Music, agent with IPS, on behalf of Nexus Pharmaceuticals, Inc., and this is for the approval of preliminary site and operational plans for site grading, underground utilities, and footing and foundation. The proposed pharmaceutical manufacturing facility to be located at the northwest corner of 128th Avenue and 104th Street in the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park. Nexus Pharmaceuticals is proposing to construct three-story manufacturing facility, approximately 84,450 square feet, on a 16-acre property located at the northwest corner of 128th Avenue and 104th Street. This is Lot 6 of CSM 2905, previously approved in the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park. At this time, the petitioner is requesting preliminary site and operational plans to begin mass grading, underground utilities, and footing and foundation work. Nexus Pharmaceuticals is a privately held U.S.-based healthcare company. They specialize in innovative processes to make difficult to manufacture specialty and generic drugs that are easier to use, less labor intensive, and more streamlined in practice. Nexus ensures that its high quality FDA approved drugs fulfill a critical unmet medical need and delivers dependable life saving treatment options when and where they are needed most. Nexus was founded in 2003 and are initially operated as a virtual company. As the company grew, more functionality was subsequently brought in-house, and in 2018, the company relocated its headquarters and laboratories to a newly renovated facility in Lincolnshire, Illinois. At this time, all product development, quality control, quality assurance, regulatory functions, and some business functions are carried out at that Lincolnshire location. This facility will be used for the manufacturing of aseptic liquid and lyophilized products, as well as terminally sterilized liquid products. Specifically, Nexus will manufacture sterile, injectable pharmaceutical products, which will be used in various medical applications, such as cardiology, oncology, etc. The products will be produced or formulated and filled in a liquid state, with some products undergoing, a freeze-dried process to provide a long-term stable application, as such as a freeze-dried product would. Overall, annual production volumes are projected to be in the range of 10 million vials per year for the first phase facility, depending on business needs. However, plant capacity can be increased with adjustments to the operating plan. All direct product contact equipment will be compatible with the products and non-reactive so as to not impact product quality. Inspection, labeling, and packaging equipment will also be located within the facility. The first floor will be allocated to warehousing, inspection, labeling, packaging, utilities, maintenance areas, office space, locker areas, and lunchroom. The second floor will be designed to be the manufacturing process with formulation, equipment, and component preparation, filling and freeze-drying, and capping activities. The second floor will also house the microbiology lab as well as the in-process chemistry lab. The third floor of the building will be outfitted with HVAC and equipment control cabinets. This project represents the first of several planned future expansions on the site. Upon FDA approval of the facility and related processes, Nexus will start commercial production operations, which are anticipated to occur in 2022. General plant-based utilities will include boilers, chillers, air compressors. Processed water will be generated via vapor compression distillation. USP-grade nitrogen will be supplied by an outside vendor and stored on site in qualified tanks to be subsequently used in the manufacturing process. The HVAC system will provide temperature control and incorporate humidification as well as dehumidification to keep controlled and classified areas within defined specifications. Raw materials for the formulation, including the active pharmaceutical ingredients and associated excipients, will be stored in secure control locations as will be the primary packaging and secondary packaging components, which are required for the manufacturing process. All material will be used on a first-in, first-out basis, with inventory levels sufficient to maintain a minimum 3-month supply of goods. Finished product will be stored on-site until released by the Quality Assurance Department, at which point it will be sent to distribution centers for shipment to U.S.-based hospital sites. It's anticipated that finished product will not be held for more than 45 days on-site. The bulk of the solid waste material will be cardboard from the incoming shipments of components used in the manufacturing process. A compactor will be used to bale the cardboard. It is expected that Nexus will produce an average of 1 bale of cardboard per day. Additional solid waste material related to the manufacturing process would include any unused glass vials and rubber stoppers. These quantities are typical, minimal, less than 1,000 pieces per batch of each component. Other unused components from the filling process, which would require disposal, would include small amounts of disposable tubing, bags, and filters associated with the manufacturing of each batch. The building will be equipped with doors controlled by electronic badge readers to ensure only authorized employees enter. A reception security station at the lobby will allow for visitor and delivery access control. Security officers will be contract personnel. Additional security measures will be employed to comply with the DEA requirements necessary due to the handling of small quantities of scheduled drugs on the site. Measures include locked storage vaults, security cameras, and access being restricted to a limited number of authorized employees. Nexus, being regulated by the FDA and subject to CGMP regulations, will employ maintenance strategies to assure that their products are safe, effective, and pure. All building structures, site improvements, and processes will be strictly sound, neat, well cared for, and aesthetically attractive. Nexus will employ highly skilled maintenance personnel to maintain their internal processes, and the use of mix of Nexus and other contracted resources for things such as exterior building maintenance, landscaping, parking lots, etc. It's anticipated that the first phase will employ 70 full-time and 5 part-time employees working during 3 shifts. Initially, they intend to operate 5 days a week with 2 shifts and a skeleton crew on 3rd shift to oversee any equipment running overnight. It is estimated that there will be an average of 100 daily automobile trips and an average of 3 truck trips to and from the site daily. There are small wetland pockets on the south side of the property line and the west property line that are currently zoned C1. They're identified on the slide in the green area. In addition, there is a drainage way along the west property line that was determined by the DNR to be artificial, thus not regulated by the state. However, on August 5, 2019, the village was informed by the Corps of Engineers that they are taking jurisdiction on these wetlands. Therefore, the wetlands within the drainage way will need to be rezoned and the land use plan map updated to reflect the wetlands remaining on the site. All of the wetlands on the property are proposed to remain unchanged. In addition, as a result, a PUD, or Planned Unit Development Overlay, will be considered to allow the access driveway, which provides access to the very far west side of the site onto 104th Street, to be located a minimum of 5 feet from the wetlands on the southwest corner. And there'll be a second wetland modification, and that's more in the center of the property, and it will require a modification to a wetland to the future parking lot expansion to be located only 15 feet from the wetlands. The required public hearing has been set for August 26 to consider these modifications or this PUD amendment, and both the Plan Commission and the Village Board will be meeting that night. The required land use plan amendment application will need to be submitted to correct the map, and the required public hearing is going to be scheduled in the very near future, either September or October. The petitioner intends to begin mass grading the underground utilities and footing and foundation in September of 2019, or as soon as they close with the village. As noted above, upon FDA approval of the facility and related processes, Nexus anticipates to start commercial production operations in 2022. And the staff has a number of comments and questions and issues in the staff comments, and we have worked through and they have seen all of these, and then we're actually having a meeting with them tomorrow to go through them as well. But we do have representatives here if you would like to ask any other questions for them. It's not a public hearing this evening, though.
Would the representative like to add anything to Jean's presentation? I have a question. Where's the representative? Could one of you come up involved in the manufacturing part of it? Before we start, we'll need your name and address as well. John.
Do you want my address at the facility?
Yeah, name also.
John Cook. 400 Knightsbridge Parkway, and that's in Lincolnshire.
John, during the manufacturing process, what safeguards are put in place to prevent some of the chemicals from entering the sewer system?
So most of the material will be disposable, right? Things that are actually any residual product, which we call tailings, will go into a container. That container will be taken by waste services, so that will never enter the waste stream. Any other thing, raw materials that may be associated with the cleaning process will go into a neutralization tank, so it will be neutralized prior to going into the waste stream.
Have you had any accidents in the manufacturing facility in Illinois that caused something to enter the sewer system?
Our current facility does not manufacture. Right. So right now we just do testing, analytical testing. Okay. All of our manufacturing is done by contract manufacturers. But in my 30 years' experience, we've had situations, but none that have led to material being into the sewer system. We'll have a spill response team that will be responsible for taking any actions for any spills of any raw materials, whether it be powder or liquid.
And would that team notify the village in the event of a spill?
So the procedure will be written depending on the criticality of the spill and the type of spill and things like that. But obviously, if it's something that would end up potentially entering the system, absolutely yes.
Any other comments or questions? Rob?
So are these going to be relocated employees, or are you going to add new
hires? So these will all be new employees. Okay. So everything right now that's done at the other facility is on the development side and the quality side, and some of the sales and operations force, but this will all be new employees for the facility.
Okay, great. And then looks like to the south you have quite a bit of open land. Is that for future expansion if you need it? Or
it is. So right now, you know, this is phase one of a potential three-phase facility. So mm-hmm. the intent is to continue west with mm-hmm. two additional expansions and eventually be about a $250 million project, and looking to have a couple hundred people minimum.
Wow, thank you.
Wayne?
Yes. Do you foresee ever relocating the Lincolnshire functions onto this property?
That's one of the reasons we wanted a bigger piece of property, right? One of the things we also considered is potentially an additional distribution on the backside of the property, if that comes to it. But we have just relocated to Lincolnshire, so that was one of the things that they said, well, let's get this project going here, and then we'll talk about maybe moving the rest of the company up here.
All right, thank you.
Deb.
Are you, the products that you're going to manufacture here, I'm making the assumption you're pulling them in from your contract manufacturing, or are you going to be adding new products and indications?
A little of both, right? So some of the products that we currently have contract manufactured are in IV bags and things of that nature, so we won't have the capacity to do that here at this site. And we'll also use some of those current contract manufacturers to keep as backup. And I know everybody's aware of drug shortages and things like that. And we don't plan on having any issues in our facility, but if we were to have anything happen, we want to make sure that the drug chain supply is not impacted. So we will keep the contract manufacturers, at least a few of them, on hold so that they are still manufacturing for us.
And are you continuing to plan on staying in cardiology and oncology as your therapeutic areas, or are you planning on expanding into any other therapeutic areas?
We are going to continue to look for opportunities to expand. You know, we currently work with a lot of hospitals and pharmacies, so we're looking to see where those needs really are. So we will continue to expand the different types of product offerings.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Nathan.
Oh, Nathan, I'm sorry.
John, just for the record, how do you say lyophilization? And can you say it three times fast?
It's lyophilization.
Okay. So three times fast?
Lyophilization, lyophilization.
Holy cow. Good job. Thank you.
I can say it.
You just say lyo.
Any other comments or questions? What's your pleasure?
I move to approve the preliminary site and operational plan subject to the comments and conditions.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the preliminary site and operational plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have us. Order. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
Item D is a request for Jeff Smith for preliminary site and operational plans.
I'll take this one.
Peggy?
Volkswagen has occupied the existing 250,366 square foot building located at 11589 88th Avenue since 2003 for warehouse and parts distribution facility. At this time, they are requesting approval of preliminary site and operational plan to begin mass grading of the site and install underground utilities and footing and foundation for an 86,808 square foot building expansion for additional warehouse and distribution space. As you recall, final site and operations are always required for final full building interior plans as well as all the site improvements. But again, at this time, they're looking to start mass grading, underground utilities, and footing and foundation for the addition. There are 40 full-time employees working one shift at the facility. No new employees are anticipated with this expansion. Upon completion of the addition, there will be 133 parking spaces, including 7 handicapped accessible parking spaces with 9 new dock doors. However, that just got changed to 8. They're going to be changing one of those dock doors to a man door on the south side of the, on the east side of the building. And they have 37 truck doors. It is estimated that there will be an average of 40 daily automobile trips and an average of 20 day truck trips to and from the site. Construction is proposed to begin in August and completion in spring of 2020.
Petitioner, have anything to add? Nothing. It's always good news to see one of our companies expand. Comments or questions from the commission?
I move approval.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for I'm sorry.
Just the site and operation plan with the staff conditions.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the preliminary site and operational plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you. Keep selling those cars. Item E is a request from Brendan O'Carroll for a site and operational plan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plan Commission and audience, this is a request of Brendan O'Carroll of Morgan Harbor, agent for United Conveyor Corporation, for the approval of site and operational plans to occupy the entire 149,811 square foot existing building located at 7153 99th Street, in the Lakeview Corporate Park for the fabrication of parts and assemblies to service the industrial and powerhouse industries. United Conveyor Supply Company, UCC, is requesting approval to occupy the entire 149,811 square foot existing building located at 7153 99th Street in the Lakeview Corporate Park. This existing site and building was initially constructed by Zilber Property Group in 2018 as a speculative industrial building. Permits have been issued to the property owner for interior and minor exterior building modifications. However, building and zoning permits are required to be submitted by the tenant upon approval of the site and operational plans to obtain their occupancy permit. Just as a side note, this is one of the buildings that Zilber transferred to High Street Realty Company through a large purchase of a number of properties in the Lakeview Corporate Park on July 19th. So the new owner of the property is actually High Street Realty Company. Company information, UCC is a global leader in providing highly engineered material handling solutions for the power generation industry and is a preferred supplier for dry sorbent injection, activated carbon injection, and reagent handling. Since 1920, UCC has pioneered material handling technology and has led the way in helping to improve plant performance for their customers. UCC has devoted its efforts exclusively to the design, supply, installation, and maintenance of ash handling and other abrasive material handling systems. Headquartered in Waukegan, Illinois, UCC offers global support from over 50 sales and service locations around the world. Global operations in the United States, Germany, India, and China allow the company to seamlessly serve its international customer base. UCC offers the most comprehensive portfolio of technologies and systems to improve plant performance and to help ensure environmental compliance. Their expertise in pneumatic, mechanical, vibratory, and hydraulic technologies results in delivering the right solution for the intended applications. UCC's commitment to quality is backed by thousands of hours of development, testing, and evaluation. United Conveyor Corporation has one of the world's most advanced research laboratories and conveyor test loops to simulate ash reagent handling applications and validate design parameters. UCC works closely with customers to test and to verify conveying performance before deployment at the plant to effectively manage risk. UCC is recognized as an industry leader for on-time project execution and reliable system performance. Their product management, field service, and engineering system teams work hand-in-hand with customers and industry partners to provide seamless execution of new and retrofit installations. In addition, because of their systems and equipment are manufactured in-house, they maintain control over performance, quality, and delivery. UCC is committed to providing the highest level of service for as long as the systems are owned. Their field engineers are available worldwide to assist in the erection and startup, operator training, and maintenance for the duration of a system's service life. UCC offers the most readily available inventory of replacement parts to minimize downtime and reduce operation costs. Thousands of replacement parts are in stock and ready for the next day shipment. With respect to their site and operational plans, UCC intends to occupy the entire building and will include an area for raw materials and processed goods storage, which is about 114,047 square feet, assembly operations, which is 28,724 square feet, and office areas of just over 7,040 square feet. Materials such as valves, sizing equipment, pneumatic cylinders, and control gates, conveying equipment will be used in both power and industrial applications. In addition to the interior office modifications, the plans include adding crane capacity and an additional drive-in ramp to handle the sheet and structural steel and sourced machine components that will be stored, assembled, and shipped from the facility. The facility will operate in two shifts and employ 50 full-time employees. The offices will be open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and delivery hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. There are 150 existing parking spaces, five, which includes five handicapped accessible parking spaces on site, and there are currently 14 truck parking spaces, 15 dock doors, and 3 drive-in doors. UCC anticipates 60 daily average automobile trips, or a peak of 75 auto trips, and 20 daily average truck trips with a peak of 30 truck trips. The parking provided on site meets and exceeds the number required by the tenant. The tenant build-out improvements are proposed to be completed by early fall of 2019 for UCC's occupancy. With that, I'd like to introduce the company to come up and talk a little bit about themselves and their expansion here in Pleasant Prairie.
Good evening. My name is Brandon Lipska. I am United Conveyors Vice President of Supply Chain, and I'm here to speak on our behalf in front of the Planning Commission. We've been, as Gene said, in business for almost 100 years, and we've been able to, we're very proud of the reputation that we've gained through the service that we provide for all of our customers. As you just heard, you know, there's a wide variety of products that we provide for our customers, primarily in the energy sector. We'll sell parts to companies, you know, maybe as like the We Energies plant here in Pleasant Prairie when it was still open. You know, we're a global leader in environmental solutions beyond that. You know, we're also doing a lot of additional work here in the last few years with air quality control, and now we're looking at doing more in the wastewater treatment sector. We've been committed to designing, supplying, and constructing and maintaining world-class systems precisely engineered to serve our utility and industrial customers. Our company offers a global sales network, to sell our products in Asia, Europe, India, and across the globe. We come before you tonight, the Planning Commission, to present our site and operational plans for the facility that we've leased at 7153 99th Street. In this facility, as we had mentioned there, we plan to provide a wide variety of different fabrication and assembly work. We do a lot of plate and structural steel fabrication work in our current fabrication facility in Melrose Park, Illinois. We recently announced to that work team that we would be transitioning that workload up here to Pleasant Prairie, and as we go through this build-out process, we'll begin to move more of that production to the facility here in Pleasant Prairie. We're headquartered in Waukegan, Illinois, and we believe that this property in Pleasant Prairie offers us a great opportunity to build more collaboration within the entire company. Since we're only about a half an hour away from our headquarters, we expect to see a lot of interchange and cross, just discussion and product development, and all the other things that you get by being physically located closer together. And last but not least, we're really excited to become a member of the Pleasant Prairie community. I want to give a special word of thanks to Nathan and Gene, who have helped us through this process of going through the planning of a new facility in a new area. We're also thankful to the efforts of Kaba and Morgan Harbor here. I've got Greg Bugby, the local representative from Morgan Harbor Construction, who can also help answer questions that you guys might have.
Thank you, Brandon. Let's stick around a second. Anybody have any comments or questions of Brandon? Brock?
So what are some of the bigger products that might ship out of this facility, like tonnage-wise?
So we're expecting to see some what we call utility mixers as being, some of the larger products we'd see shipped from this facility. We'll also be doing some assembly work on fabrications that we source internationally. We'll have the different kinds of mechanical systems that go within these big weldments that will actually assemble all the mechanical equipment into these weldments and ship through this facility.
And they'll fit like in a normal semi-type tractor trailer? And
correct. Okay. Right. We're now anticipating a wide variety of over-dimensional sorts of things, mostly legal loads.
Okay. Thank you.
The facility, the manufacturing facility in Illinois that's transitioning up to Pleasant Prairie, is that facility going to be shut down totally and the employees offered a job in Pleasant Prairie?
That is our intention at this point.
Okay. And you're going to have manufacturing, distribution, and office in Pleasant Prairie?
We are planning on having a variety of different fabrication, assembly, and shipping activities here.
Can I ask, what are the wages? Where would the wages fall?
We're expecting wages in the area on the low end of $13 to $14 with some of the more entry-level kinds of activities up to the mid-20s for some of the fabrication and welding kinds of jobs that we're opening.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Thanks, Brandon. Thank you very much. Mr. Butcher, pleasure.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion made and second for approval of the site and operational plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you and welcome. Item F is the approval of the preliminary site and operational plan for Lakeview Ventures, LLC. Okay.
So this is a request of Melissa Roman, agent for Lakeview 14 Ventures, LLC, owners of the vacant property generally located north of 109th Street and east of 80th Avenue. West of 80th Avenue in the Lakeview Corporate Park for approval of preliminary site and operational plans for the mass grading of the vacant land. And this is just for further or future industrial development. No users have been identified. On June 1st, 2019, the Plan Commission conditionally approved site and operational plans for the construction of the addition to Ta Chen, located at 8500 109th Street on Lot 1 of CSM 2903. Lot 2 of CSM 2903 to the north of that property is now also proposed to be graded for a future building pad. The grading of both Lots 1 and 2 of CSM 2903 at the same time would allow for the site earthwork to balance, and no fill will need to be hauled off from the sites. It's the same owner. This work was discussed with the owners at the pre-construction meeting for when Ta Chen was started, and the property owner identified that they would like to have both sites graded at the same time. The property owner will need to work directly with UV Energies to relocate any of the existing electric facilities within the work zone. Site and operational plans shall be submitted for any future site work or building proposed on Lot 2. We do have a representative here from CenterPoint, Christopher Green. So if you have any additional questions, again, the intent is just to do this preliminary grading on this site because the site work balanced as part of the overall site work that's being done for Ta Chen.
Okay. Petitioner, have anything to add? Nothing. Okay. Comments or questions from the commission? What's your pleasure?
I move to approve the preliminary site and operational plans.
Subject to comments and conditions.
Subject to comments and conditions.
Your second.
I'll second.
Motion made and second for approval of the preliminary site and operational plans. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you. Item G is a public hearing and consideration of ordinance amendments. Jean.
I'll take this one. This last item is consideration of ordinance amendments. The first amendment is to amend section 420.26 through 420.29 of the village zoning ordinance related to zoning permit fees and application fees. The second amendment is to amend section 395-87 of the village land division ordinance related to development application fees. And the last amendment is to amend section 420-131T3 of the village zoning ordinance to indicate that upon final FEMA approval of the floodplain boundary adjustment, the village will then set the required public hearings to amend the village zoning map and zoning text and 2035 land use plan amendment to reflect the approved amendments. Specifically, village staff is recommending that the zoning and development application fees be increased from $225 to $250 for minor applications such as certified survey maps, zoning map amendments, and increase the fee from $825 to $850 for other applications, including site and operational plans, PUD ordinances, conceptual plans, and plats. The fees, after approval by the Village Board, we would recommend that they become effective September 1st. The current fees have been set at $225 and $825 since 2011. The other change, as I mentioned, is a change to section 420-131T3 of the Village Zoning Ordinance to indicate that upon final FEMA approval of the floodplain boundary adjustment, the Village will set the required public hearings to amend the zoning map, zoning text, and 2035 comprehensive plan to reflect said approvals. Currently, when someone does a floodplain boundary adjustment, they come to the Village Plan Commission first and then goes on to the board. Then they do the work, get all their approvals from FEMA, and get their final approval, and then they have to come back and have the maps adjusted to reflect the final approved plans. With the new change in the ordinance, we're recommending that that application be all submitted at one time, and when we receive the final approval from FEMA, we go ahead and set the public hearing instead of having to chase after that applicant to submit new applications and additional fees and whatnot to then process that. So this will just help streamline that process a little bit more. So with that, village staff recommends approval of the ordinance amendments as presented.
This is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearing and open up to comments and questions from the commission.
Deb? I'm just curious, how do our fees compare to other municipalities in southeastern Wisconsin?
Well, our fees are a little bit different. I'm not sure how many other municipalities do what we do specifically. Since 2004 or 7, 4, I don't know, a long time ago, we introduced a pre-development agreement. So developers pay for an initial application fee, and then we bill our time directly for the project costs. So these initial fees of $225 and $825 being increased, those cover initial staff meetings with developers before they move forward with the project, before we start doing any final reviews. It covers other staff time that don't bill out their time. So we are actually billing out actual time and costs that we spend on a project. So I think it's very fair. Right. In the past, we've had fees based on the size. It was $10,000 if you had this, $15,000 if you had this, and different sizes like that. And we were finding we were spending a lot of time on developments where we might not have a very sophisticated developer or a property owner trying to be a developer, mainly for plats and things like that. So since we've incorporated this, I think it's been fairly
got it.
Received. Okay. And
you know, if
thank you.
I applaud this because if we don't keep up with the fee schedule, then the burden on development is going to start falling onto the taxpayer who is not involved with the development. So I applaud this effort. So anybody, any other comments or questions? What's your pleasure?
Move to approve the ordinance amendment as presented.
Second.
Motion made and second for approval. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Before we adjourn, I'd like to make a comment. a few years back, the village board approved the a different road profile for how we construct our roads in the village. And it was met with a lot of opposition from a good deal of developers. I'm glad we stood our ground on this because I think everybody in this room and others see what happens to your roads when they deteriorate and how rough it is and how expensive it is to rebuild them and maintain them. The village, with our new standards, is not going to see those types of expenses coming forward in the future. And so far, we've seen development coming in that are accepting what we have proposed. And that is only a benefit to every taxpayer in the village of Pleasant Prairie. It's a better way to go. It's a beneficial way to go. It might be more expensive initially, but ultimately it's a cost savings to this village. So with that, if there's any other comments, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you.